Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we have Kelly Jimerson, who is the director for Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Hope I got that right, Kelly?
You too. Good morning, LaVon.
Glad to have you here sliding in this morning.
Just barely made it. Went through one stop sign.
Ooh, we got to watch it. And we're not in the habit.
You know,
we didn't get used to that early on. But everybody take care out there. Well, as Chris said, we want to talk about community analysis and community resource directory. How did all this get started, Kelly?
Well, basically, I am a member of the Atlantic Kiwanis group. And in our group, we started having a meeting. One of our projects we do every year is to have a community analysis. And that's basically where we get together with our group and we kind of decide, what are the needs in the community? What can we do for the community? And is there something that we're missing? Well, during the course of that, the project kind of steamrolled. It became a matter of, we decided to bring the community into the community analysis, take it one step further, and start holding some meetings and see what we could do.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you ask the question, what isn't being done, that's what is being done, and where's the overlap, all those questions start coming up.
Well, it did. It became a matter of who's doing what. It became a matter of how do you find out who's doing what. And is somebody doing a duplication of services? Because one organization may not want to spend their money on something if the other organization is doing it, when we can meet two different needs. Or sometimes what we were finding is one group has the manpower, but somebody else has the funds for it. How could we make these two groups work together rather than struggling against each other so that that money goes further for our community?
Mm-hmm. And there are so many different kinds of needs. I'm sure you found that as you went. You know, we might look at a holiday and we think, well, people need food, but there are lots of other needs.
Well, there are, you know. Like, say, for example, let's just take Christmas. One of the things that developed with that conversation was how many people are getting gift boxes for Christmas, because everybody wants to give out of the goodness of their heart, you know. But it seemed like we were finding a lot of families were getting lots of Christmas boxes and some families were getting nothing. There were families that were getting maybe a food box but not a gift box, that type of thing. So we're kind of steamrolling that together and trying to see if we can find one point of contact, one place that maybe you can contact and say, hey, I want to adopt a family. And they could take that name off of the list and go ahead and let you adopt it. And I think we're kind of looking at maybe Steve Green with the police department and seeing, you know, or else Teresa Canning. One of the two would be kind of a contact point where, you know, because you always have to watch those confidentiality rules and everything else, but they would be somebody that we could work with and do that, so that way, you know, if the churches wanted to, they could contact him and say, hey, I've got somebody, you know, I want to donate to a family. Can you get me one? Can you set me up with one?
Mm-hmm. So who all's involved? You've mentioned Kiwanis and you mentioned the police department. Who's working on getting all of this put together? It's just like a huge puzzle, I think, that you got to kind of put the pieces together. Who's working on it?
Well, it kind of is, and that's kind of a big question. Lots of people from lots of different directions. We started out by holding a meeting probably 9 months ago, and we decided to have quarterly meetings. And when we started the project, we sent out letters to all the different, what we called community service organizations, like your Rotary, your Kiwanis, your Optimists, your Eagles, you know, a little bit of everything. And as we did that, we held a group meeting. From that meeting, then we decided that every quarter, the fifth Monday of the month was usually one that somebody doesn't have meetings already scheduled. And so we'd have our meeting then. What came to pass is now after our third meeting, we've decided we're going to have a special meeting, which is just a smaller group of us that have been kind of regulars at the others, and we're going to kind of finalize things a little bit. And as we finalize them, then we're going to have another big community meeting, try to get some more input from the community and maybe invite the community, you know, the service providers as far as the ones that do volunteer services for the community, but also the service providers that get paid to do services for the community, and having them all come to the table and discussing. I think what one of our goals is, you know, there is a community resource book out there. And that book it's just kind of a booklet. And it kind of will guide you, like say if you needed help with childcare, or if you needed heating assistance, or if you needed, you know, those type of services. Mm-hmm. So it's combining all that.
But do people even know there is such a book that exists, and where is it?
Exactly. And that's the point that we're getting at, is most people don't. And then the point also becomes, and who can have access to it? How do you get it out to the public? I think what we're looking at doing is maybe putting a website, putting it on the Extension Office website, this booklet, and also giving it to like the churches, the hospital, the schools, so that they have a resource at their fingertips that if somebody comes to them and says, I need help with heating assistance, you could open the booklet and you could direct them to something. Now, the one on the website, we're looking at having actual links connected to it so that if you say you needed heat assistance, you could click on this link and it would direct you right towards the person that you would contact for heat assistance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'm thinking, you start out with Kiwanis, which is a volunteer, and you have projects that maybe only do a short time but don't go on forever. Versus
Correct.
The service organizations, that's their business, most of them go on for quite a while, if not
exactly.
forever, quite a while. But, you know, when people have a need, all of a sudden, if it's a new need, they really don't know where to turn. I'm thinking actually about your business, ENRC, that people, and I hear your ads, you want people to know that they don't have to come and live there.
Right.
Well, until people have a need, they may not know that.
Correct. They're not going to know that there's the availability of the outside therapy provider.
Right.
Or that, you know, they could come in and have a meal, or they could get just a respite stay where they could come just for a short period of time. That's very true.
And so I think there are a lot of service organizations like that. And we don't pay attention to that until we have that need. And then it's like, help, where do I go?
Well, and I think that need goes a lot of different directions. Because what we've even found is our service groups. Say, for example, like with me, I'm getting ready to do the community Easter egg hunt again this year. And so I sent out letters to all the different service providers in the community asking for donations, asking for help, that type of thing. And I got a lot of those letters back because those addresses change, those points of contact change. You know, every year a different president, so it all changes. So how do we have one place that, you know, last year we ran into, I was doing the Easter egg hunt again, and I had a organization contact me and say, we didn't know you had this. We were going to do one. Mm-hmm. You know, so you also get the duplication of who's doing what project. Or, for example, the Kiwanis, they used to do book bags for the school for at the beginning of the year for school kids that couldn't afford bags. And we used to stock them with, you know, the paper, the pencils, and all the supplies. Well, what we found was there's two or three other groups out there that do that. So now what we do is we just donate the supplies to the school. And as kids' supplies dwindle down, then the school's able to use that to replenish and restock the supplies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a better use of our funds money at the time.
Mm-hmm. So you're learning a lot about a lot of organizations and businesses, aren't you?
I am. It's been fun.
Yes. So if somebody at this point says, yeah, that's really, really important, I'd like to get involved, can they do that?
They can. Please give me a call. You can call me out at the nursing home, 712-243-3952. Just ask for Kelly, and we can sit down and talk about it and find out. I can let you know when the next meetings are. We're going to be having another big community meeting. It'll be probably the last Monday in April, and it'll usually be 7 o'clock, and we'll be sending out. There'll be stuff in the mail and so forth and the newspaper kind of explaining about it. But just in case, you know, a lot of times we miss either the newspaper or the radio or the whatever, so give me a call.
Okay. Now, if some of those other agents, I'm thinking, like, does the chamber know this meeting's going on if somebody called the chamber?
They do, usually.
Okay.
I haven't set up this next one, but yeah,
but
they absolutely, they know
the,
what's going on.
The ISU Extension Office?
Correct.
Should know
yeah.
when that is. So I'm just thinking there are several different avenues that you could go to
absolutely.
Find out about what's going on. How do you feel about the participation so far? Has this been something that you're like, wow, this is really great, or are you still sort of struggling for folks to get involved?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's going the direction the group needs it to be. The first meeting that we had, I think we had, I want to say 25 people at it. By our last meeting, which was our third meeting, I think we were down to, you know, maybe 12. But now we're kind of focusing and we're kind of deciding what projects need to be picked on and picked up and
picked apart.
Picked apart, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's sort of your little working group, maybe, versus.
But correct.
So it sounds like to me that's going to come and go in terms of size of the group. Sometimes you really want a lot of people there kind of checking everything out, but other times there'll be a smaller group that's really digging in.
Well, and what we've found is if nothing else, it's been good for us to be able to sit there at the meeting. Say, for example, Carla Ackers. She was able to bring up some services that her group does that a lot of the people at the table was not aware of.
Right.
You know, and so, for example, the breast cancer screening, the mammograms, you know, free mammograms for certain age groups, that type of thing, that a lot of people didn't know. So sometimes just being able to talk amongst ourselves as providers in the community mm-hmm. and be able to get that information out to one another.
Right. So that networking helps you do your job, helps everybody do their job. But in the long run, it's also the individuals and the families who you want to help out.
Ultimately, it's for our community, and it's for the people in our community, absolutely.
What a humongous job I think this is, having worked on one of those a long time ago. It's just mind-boggling. But you're working away at it. It sounds like you've got a good plan going, and it's going to be ongoing. It's not really an end point. You have
correct.
A goal, but ongoing. We want to thank you very much, Keller Jimerson, for coming and making us more aware of what's going on with Community Analysis and Community Resource Directory. Until next time, here's a thought that says, I couldn't wait for success, so I went ahead without it.